according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Astoria Community Church. It's good to be here this morning. Before I begin, please join your hearts with me in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you that we can gather during this season of Epiphany. We also pray for this season in ACC, where we're going through a transition in the leadership as we welcome a new pastor. We pray for guidance and encouragement from your word this morning, and we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In every transition period, especially for a congregation like ours, there are always a mix of emotions. They can be emotions of anxiety, uncertainty, nostalgia, and even grief. Parents, when your child starts a new school or a phase in life, whether this is going to college or even preschool, you start to wondering about how you're going to pay for college. Who's going to pay for this? Or even will your child finish? You start to miss the years when your child was younger. The good old days of changing diapers and potty training. Even when those times were never glamorous, they were never dazzling. And you catch that nostalgia bug. All in all, you grieve the loss of something or someone. Ultimately, a change is coming your way in terms of life. And with these emotions in times of transition, you might come up with ways of coping to avoid this anxiety. You might try to reinvent yourself, move to a new city like this one. You might try to start a new life, start a new job, start a new relationship, build something new, just about doing everything you can to shake that sense of uncertainty, of not knowing how things will go. Will this job work out? Will this relationship work out? Will I even find a relationship? Will my children finish school? Since our church is in this time of transition, and this is also the time of nominating church officers, if you've been nominated to be an officer, an elder or a deacon, you might be hesitant or even have anxiety about your capacity to serve in these offices. For all of the above, the passages today are for you. As we go through, I want to highlight these three roles to help us face the anxiety that we have in our lives. The role of the servant, the role of the son, the covenant. the servant, the son, and the covenant. So let's jump in. Firstly, let's look at the role of the servant. In the passage from Deuteronomy 34, we are confronted with the death of Moses. In verse 5, Moses is described as the servant of the Lord. Now, if you don't know about him, Moses, he lived a long life. From our passage, he is pushing 120. And Dwight Moody said this about Moses. Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. In his first 40 years, Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and he grew up in the royal Egyptian household. In many ways, obtaining an Ivy League education, high-level career, being adopted in the royal house has its privileges. When he's 40, somehow it goes into his heart to visit his own people, the Hebrews, the people of Israel. And seeing one of his own people wronged, he stands up. He stands up for the oppressed, and he kills an Egyptian. And Moses, he hides the body in the sand. And, you know, this is Moses. And he's thinking that, he thought that his people, his own people, that they would understand him. His people, they were being enslaved by Egypt, and he thought that they would understand that, you know, he was providing them with a way of salvation for them by his own hand. And somehow word gets around that he killed an Egyptian, and Moses, he flees. He flees a death sentence. He flees Egypt as a fugitive. And he flees to a foreign land. He flees to this land to escape death. And he settles there to become a shepherd. He has no prospects of his own. That Egyptian degree is gone. And he marries and he has two sons. Living in absolute obscurity for 40 years. And when he's 80, Moses, he has an encounter with God. And God tells him that he is going to send Moses to rescue his people. Now, in the passage before us, Moses is, once again, he's pushing 120. And He's performed all of these signs and wonders in Egypt. He's rescued his people by the hand of God. And he has led them through the wilderness. Moses, he is literally staring at the land that was promised to his people. A land where they would not be slaves, they would not be oppressed. A land flowing with milk and honey. And in this passage, God allows Moses to see this land, yet he will not be able to enter it. In verse 4, we read, "And the Lord said to him, 'This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there.'" Moses, he wasn't even allowed to enter the promised land. And this is because of his disobedience to God. And you could read about this in Numbers chapter 20. And moreover, to add to this, Moses, he is buried in the land of Moab. These were the enemies of Israel. And he lived as a foreigner. And now he's going to be buried where no one knows where he is. He's buried in obscurity. And before you say to yourselves, "Oh, thanks, Song, great pep talk. Why would anyone want to be a servant of God, let alone how does this help our anxiety?" Look at what God does in this passage. He takes the time to show Moses the realization of his promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God takes the time to speak to him, and he even takes the time to bury him. And for all of his years in obscurity, Moses was not alone, because God was there. Look at what God can do with a nobody in the world's eyes. Moses, he knew the one important thing that would alleviate any anxiety about Israel's future, and that was that God is faithful. God delivered Israel, and he would be with his people. For any servant of God, their main goal is to point people towards God. So the role of the servant is to point people to God. Now, that is the role of the servant. Let's look at the role of the son. If we were to close our Bibles in Deuteronomy, we would do ourselves a great disservice. We wouldn't see the mercy and love of God in dealing with a sinful and wayward humanity. Note, there is no Prince of Egypt 2, and there is no Ten Commandments Part 2. There's no sequel to the life of Moses, right? And Israel gets to go and settle in the Promised Land, but they fail to fully accomplish what God had commanded. Generations pass, and they forget about God. Time passes, and the people sin more and more. God sends prophet after prophet to bring the people back. But more and more, Israel falls away, listening to everything and everyone except for God. Now, when we get to New Testament, you could look on in your bulletins to Luke chapter 9. It has been over 1,000+ years and some centuries and change since the day of Moses. We see Peter, we see John, we see James. They're following Jesus one day to a mountain to pray. And as Jesus is praying, his face and clothing, they start to shine. They start to dazzle. Amazingly bright. And then you see Moses and Elijah, they're talking with Jesus. Moses, he reappears. He reappears in the New Testament. He'll probably be like 1,600 years old. And Peter is so astonished. He is so amazed at this, that he didn't know what he was talking about. He becomes a babbling fool, right? This is Peter. This is the author of 1 and 2 Peter. He's just babbling. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Moses, he reappears. And we don't know which mountain this is, because it doesn't matter. God speaks, and we see him say in verse 35, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Jesus is the Son of God, and just as God commanded in Luke, we are commanded today to listen to him. Moses and Elijah, they disappear, and we are left with Jesus. Now, for the role of the Son, Jesus Christ, we are to listen to him. We are to take his teachings, his life, and all that he said to heart. And if you think that this gives you an excuse to ignore the Old Testament reading, especially in reading the Bible for a year, my friend, Jesus said that the scriptures testify about him, to listen to him. So you have to read the Old Testament. And he has a lot to say about anxiety. And for this, you can read his Sermon on the Mount. Now, we saw the role of the servant and the role of the son. Let's look at the role of the covenant. Now, a covenant if you're new. It's a contract. It's an agreement between two parties. You can think of a marriage as a covenant. It's a covenant between two parties that are bound together. With God, this is very special because he graciously enters into a covenant with us. Mentioned earlier, Moses and Elijah, they were talking with Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves, what would make these folks who have been dead for a long time to reappear? It's a special cameo appearance. And it's important for them to speak with Jesus. It's got to be important, right? In Luke 9, verse 31, we find out that they were talking about Jesus, his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. The word for departure in this text is the Greek word exodos, of which we get that word Exodus, right? And in the Exodus, in the Old Testament, if you remember that story from the Prince of Egypt or any of those stories, those movies about Moses, right? Everything that you've learned in Sunday school, God rescues Israel. He rescues Israel from Egypt. They are facing a life of slavery and death at the hands of Pharaoh. Now remember that God sent Moses to perform all of the wonders and signs in Egypt. First, God rescues them. And then he brings them to Mount Sinai. It wasn't that Israel did something good. It wasn't like they gathered a whole bunch of money. They said, okay, God, take this, and you could please come rescue us. No, God rescues them first. Because Israel couldn't do anything to save themselves. God initiates. And his salvation back then he initiates it, goes in, and he rescues Israel, brings them to Mount Sinai. And this is where God says to Moses in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 to 6, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Did you know that it was not a simple thing to bring Israel out of Egypt? It was not a simple thing. It was not a simple thing for this covenant. It took the sacrifice of lambs. The last plague of Egypt before Israel was freed was the death of the firstborn of every household, except for those that followed what God had commanded. The people of Israel were told to take a lamb without blemish, let it stay with them for 4 days, almost like a member of the family. You know, take this lamb in, bring him into your house, you know, treat him like a member of the family, and then you sacrifice it. You take the blood from the lamb and you put it on the lintel and the doorposts of your house. And if a family, if they were too poor, they would go to their neighbor's household. And when the angel of God came and saw the blood, it would pass over that house. And there would be no death in that house. Now, in the New Testament, the Exodus of Jesus, he is not only the Son of God, but also he is the Lamb of God. He lived a perfect life without blemish. He kept the covenant, the law, and was in perfect obedience to God, the Father. He lived among his people. His was a perfect life. And he would go to die a gruesome and humiliating death on the cross to pay the cost of our sin. He was buried in a tomb that did not belong to him. And on the third day, he would rise from the dead and would ascend to be with God the Father. where he would be the judge of the living and the dead. This was so that we would be rescued from eternal death, so we would be adopted as children of God. He became our sin bearer so we could obtain his righteousness. And it was something that we could never accomplish by our own works. And so all we can do is to respond in gratitude. And all of our anxiety points us to the fact that we do not have the power to control our future. All the more reason for us to rely upon God and to respond to him in gratitude. And so, the role of the covenant in our response, the role of the covenant is our response in gratitude to the grace of God in our salvation. The covenant that is laid out in Scripture, you can think of the Ten Commandments and Jesus, his summary of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, to wrap up, the role of the servant is to point us to God. The role of the son is that we listen to him. And the role of the covenant is how we are to respond in gratitude to the grace of God. God will not leave you alone in your anxiety. He will not leave you holding the bag in your nomination. He will not abandon you in this period of transition. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you can take imperfect people like Moses and babbling folks like Peter to accomplish your work of salvation to bring hope to others. If there are folks who have received an outward call to be officers of this church, allow them to enter a time of prayer for their inward call. This world is yours, and you will renew it. So too you can renew our hearts. All we can do is to respond in gratitude and trust you, that you who started a good work in us will bring it to completion when Christ appears. To you alone be all honor and glory. Amen.